Father and our God, we worship and thank you. We thank you for your great mercy that's been on our lives through the year 2014. That has preserved us, that has provided for us, that has enabled us to grow spiritually, and has brought us to where we are today. As we come to share your word now on Thanksgiving, I pray for fresh unction and anointing from heaven on my heart and my lips, that I would speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. And I ask the same anointing and unction to be upon the ears and the hearts of everyone who will hear this message. Those who are here physically, those who are here remotely, electronically. My God, that the word will have free course from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray as we speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in more than sufficient measure to heal, to deliver, to break yokes, to free men, so that they will become doers of the things which they hear, and not hearers only. In particular, they become people who will cultivate and maintain an attitude of gratitude and give thanks well to you in their lives. Father, I pray that as I speak, you will help me to redeem the time, to say only what you want me to say, and bring out of the treasure of this word things new and old, even as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer that received the blessing in their life said, all right. Now, in our last lesson, we were in chapter 15 of Mark, and in verses 33 to 47, we saw Jesus' death and burial. Just quickly recap on that. We saw also the fact that Jesus didn't just die physically, he also died spiritually. What spiritual death is not a cessation of existence. What spiritual death is not a cessation of existence, it's just a change of internal nature. When you're cut off from God, then you die spiritually. So the nature of God that was in Jesus drained out. And that's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? What happened in Jesus' spirit was mirrored by what happened in the physical, because God allowed the sun. It was between 12 o'clock in the afternoon and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There was an eclipse of the sun, you know, and Jesus died, and now he went to hell, and he suffered in the fire. And it was only on the third day that God raised him from the dead, helped him to overcome principalities and powers. He took the keys of death and hell from Satan. He went across the void into Abraham's bosom. He preached unto the spirits in prison. He led captivity captive. Hallelujah. And then he took his own blood, entered into the heavenly holy of holies, obtained eternal redemption for us, and then sat down. Hallelujah. At the right hand of the Father, waiting until all his enemies be made his footstool. Now, he's not going to do that. We're going to do that. He's done his part. It's our part now. It's our turn now. Hallelujah. Based on what he has done. Okay. And so we saw that Jesus died spiritually and physically, and he was buried. And that's where we stopped, you know. And in chapter 15, the last verse said, it says, and they brought fine linen in verse 46. You know, Joseph of Arimathea goes to Pilate and asks for the body. Pilate's surprised. Ah, is he dead so quickly? They don't die that quickly on the crucifixion. It takes time. Then he called the centurion and said, come. He said, is he really dead? He said, yeah. The centurion said, oh, guy's dead though. He's dead. You know, because the centurion took his spear and used it to puncture his heart. The Bible says, out came blood and water. So, why, brethren, Yamaruno, let's think. Why do you think God recorded all that detail inside the Bible? So it was not the word of Peter and James and John alone.
People will say, it's his people who said. Do you understand? God allowed Gentiles to witness and for it to be recorded. Jesus died. It's a recorded fact. Are you listening to me? Pilate was so shocked. Is he dead? And he called the centurion. The centurion said, yeah, he's dead. And he gave Joseph a ram and said, okay, take the body. So Joseph and Mary came. They took the nails off. You know, took the body off the cross. It was dead. Died. He didn't faint. He wasn't unconscious. He should. You know that? It was grave. You're dead. Died. They took the thing, wrapped the body in linen, you know, then took it to his own personal graveyard, you know, a cave. They put the body there. Then the women, they wanted to, you know, the Jews used to embalm. So they wanted to, they brought the spice, but it was Sabbath. So they put him there, and then they rolled the stone on the sepulcher. Why all this detail? God wants you to know he died. They brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Next verse. And, this was, we're now in chapter 16. So, what happened was, this was this Friday evening. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he's dead. Pilate got to... Joseph, I'm just speculating. The Bible doesn't tell us the exact time, but we can intelligently estimate. In those days, they didn't have street lights like we have today. Do you understand? So I'm sure it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe around 4 or 5. Joseph, they will go to Pilate. Pilate releases the body at 6. You know, before it's dark. You know, they carry him, put him inside the grave, lock the door, roll the stone. Amen. It's Friday. The Sabbath starts at sunset. That's why, you see, all these things are inside the Bible. So we can picture what really happened. Are you listening to me? That's why it's before 6, everything has been done. Because after 6, you don't do any work. So Pilate must have, Joseph Maria must have run to government house. Run to the governor's house. You know, by the time they heard he was dead, he died at 3 o'clock. By 3:34, he was already in his house. Got the permission. They gave him the body. They brought the body down quickly, carried the body, take it to the sepulcher, put everything before 6. Because after 6, they can't do anything. Hello, somebody. And roll the stone. Now, chapter 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, this is Saturday is gone. I explained this the last time. He died on Friday afternoon. So he was in hell Friday afternoon and Friday evening. The whole of Saturday, morning and day. Day and night. Day and night is not 24 hours. It just means when the sun is up and when the sun is not up. Sunday morning, he was still in hell. Because it's 12 midnight and it's dark. Are you listening to me? But towards the dawning of the day, somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 o'clock in the morning was when Jesus was raised from the dead. By that time, it was already day in some other places in the world. So it was 3 days and 3 nights. Day and night, Friday. Day and night, Saturday. Day and night and day, Sunday. Is it clear? Hallelujah. It was not 3 24-hour days. It couldn't be. The Bible didn't say just say 3 days and 3 nights. So Friday, day and night. Saturday, day and night. Sunday, night and day. Is it clear? So, very early in the morning, it's about 6 a.m.
even from the geography we know today, you know, by the time it's 6 a.m. in Israel, it's by Australia and other places I've already seen the light. China and all of that. God is great, Pastor Bega. And when we read this Bible, we should know who we are dealing with and, you know, not try and, you know, get smart and all of that. You know, if the man says he's so, he was made, you know, he's far sharper than any of us. Are you listening to me? All right. So, very early on Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and Mary, you know, and some of the other women, they called to the, they said, and when the Sabbath was passed, I didn't hear you. Open your mouth. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought sweet spices that they might come to anoint him. This proves what I said. Friday, it was too close, so they didn't have time. And they couldn't do any work after 6. So if we come early on Sunday morning, you understand, the body would not have decomposed too much. We can still do the embalming and all that, but they were too late. Glory be to God. Mary, the sister of Lazarus, had picked it by the Spirit. So she had poured the anointing on him when she was still in Lazarus' house, when he was alive. That's why Jesus says she has done this for my burial. She picked it by the Spirit. The others were too late. They moved in the natural. She moved in the Spirit. Glory to God. May God have mercy on us. May we do what God wants to do at the right time. Not at the time men think is okay. These guys followed a natural timetable. But who told Mary to do it? The Holy Ghost. There was no Matthew chapter 24 when Mary was doing it. No Mark chapter 15. It wasn't recorded. So she was not doing according to the scripture. Nobody told her. She just picked it by the Spirit. You understand? Jesus was in their house. Lazarus had been raised from the dead. This was after Lazarus was raised from the dead. You know? And Mary just... Notice it was Mary, not Martha. Martha can never pick such a thing. She's too cumbered about with natural, but Mary, the spiritual one, now is the one Jesus commended, that said she sat at his feet, and this will not be taken. She was sensitive in the spirit. She went to take her alabaster box. They keep it for their wedding, among the Jewish tradition. So somebody just told her, go and pour that thing on his head. She just obeyed. And Jesus said, she did the right thing. She did it for my burial. Because nobody is going to be able to anoint me after I'm dead. Hallelujah. What a great, that's a great insight. That lady could pick. And you know, I'm sure at the time she did. That's why we're led by the Spirit. The Bible says he'll show you things to come. She didn't understand the fullness of what she didn't know. She didn't understand. She just did what she was told at the time without knowing the full implication of what she did. Jesus said, and wherever this gospel is preached, it will be written as a memorial for what she has done. And so it is today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. May God be able to say that about you. Why don't you learn to be sensitive to the Spirit and just do what God says you to do? Even when you don't fully understand it, you don't know what it's going to be in the future. Hallelujah. When I look back at scripture passage and some of the things we did, you know, when I look back now, I just thank God. I was stupid enough to do what God told me to do. I just did it. Looking back now, over 30 years, 35 years, I'm now beginning to see the great spiritual implications of what we did. Let me give an example. One of the things I did was this, by the help of the Holy Spirit, you know, by the grace of God, was I started writing down my Bible studies from when we first started. Do you understand? God, first of all, told me, he said, don't teach topically. Teach the Bible. So I would teach Romans, Hebrews, and all of that. Then he said, make sure you write a summary. That discipline started from day one. I still do. That's why we got weekly Rhema today. Look at those
records. Imagine if I hadn't done those. Everything I've done for the last 30 years, you can't hold on to it. And it's still some of the things that the army that is coming is going to use. Is there. And God then invented the internet for our benefit. We were one of the first ministries to go on the internet. And even apart from those in America, we started 2001. I can never forget. God said, go and do it. And we did it. And now, you know, you can go back. Any topic. Boy, I know you all put it as a search engine to bring it out. You know, sufferings, humility, the gifts of the Spirit. I sent this thing to one of the brethren recently. It doesn't come to scripture, Pastor. You know, somebody emailed me and he asked, you know, for some material. So I just sent a few links to him. The guy said, "Wow! Yeah, never." He said, "You mean all of this?" I said, "It's free. It's free." He said, "Eh?" He said, "Pastor." When he replied me, he said, "You mean all of this thing?" He's been feeding on the stuff, you know, and even the ones I don't know. That's the one I know. Because again, because of Google, you can translate into any language. So you can just take one particular weekly rhema, go to that particular web page, you know, you can copy it, paste it into your Word file or Word document, or even just keep it on the web page. Do you understand? Take it into Google Translator. It can take it and translate into any language. Chinese, French, you know, Spanish, whatever. Only God could see that. I could not see that 30 years ago. All I could do was obey. Are you listening to me? All I could do, I did not know. In 1984, there was no internet. You know, another thing God helped me to do, because of this Mary Magdalene example, I'm using practical example, was don't start a denomination. I was going to start home. Went to Cameroon. Pastor G, remember? And God spoke to me. He said, don't do it all. He said, you will create a monster. He said, the denomination system breeds Absaloms and Adonijahs. Hey! I'd never heard anybody preach it like that before. God just spoke to me. I still remember I was in Abidjan. I went to preach for my friend while I had a choir. You understand? And I was thinking, when I come back, maybe we're going to start something in VI. I don't start planning, you know, Larry and maybe Shokes will go to something, my dad's house, we're going to you. Yes, I started planning how I was going to do it. This is 1990. 1991, we will start one branch in Victoria Island, we'll start in my dad's place. I will ask him for, and we would have done it all. It would have worked. By now, I'd have been a big bishop. Oh yes, nobody was doing anything like that at that time. We would have been far ahead of everybody. But of course, I would have gone to Abuja. Oh yes, you know, I had all the connections and everything in the natural. If I was going to go in the natural, easily. So God told me, he said, don't try it. He said, I never wanted Israel to have a king. He said, because a monarchy demands that the next king will be one of the sons of the present king, irrespective of his spiritual suitability. He said, that was why Joshua was not the son of Moses. He said, if you start a denomination, you will have to put men there, called or not called. He said, sometimes they had a good king, but most times they had a bad king. Look at the denominations today. They now have a monster that they cannot control. Oh yeah. You know, that's another thing. When I look back now, and God told me, he said, pattern yourself after Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland. He said, look at Kenneth Hagin's ministry. He said, he has only one church, that Rhema Bible song in Tulsa. It's about 300 people, though. A small church. But look at the impact. He said, Ken Hagin's ministry, through the book, in those days they were using books and tapes. He said, it has affected the body of Christ more than Foursquare, Assembly of God, all the Pentecost. If you put all of them together, they have not had the spiritual impact and caused the kind of spiritual growth that Kenneth Hagin Ministries has had. He said, pattern that way. And as I just quietly came back to Nigeria and just obeyed God. When I look back now, I now see, aha, so that's what God had. At that time, I couldn't see all of what. Then he said, concentrate on the internet. He said, it's the church of the future. It's the church of the future. Well, first of all, I with television, church in the air. Now we have church in the web. Hallelujah. Now people follow us anywhere in the world. And proper discipleship, because it's not man-centered. You don't have to know me. The guy who was healing people in all of Jesus' ministry. And John said, he doesn't want us just to shut up. Will it be translation? Hello? No, they shut up! He said, there's no man who can do a miracle man in that can say. He said, he doesn't. God is non-sectarian. God is bigger than scripture pastor. God is bigger than winners. They are my friends. God is bigger than redeemed. He's bigger than all of you. You can't put God in a box. He will step out. He's bigger than all of us. Now today, you don't have to know me. Just take the thing and start praying. And I have people, recently I was introduced to people in Ireland. People I didn't know. We have in South Africa, all over, who are following the things that we're teaching and preaching here. Praying, doing all those things. Getting results in their lives, growing spiritually. That's God's pattern. And he's God-centered, not man-centered. I'm just an errand boy. Put the material out there. The Holy Ghost takes over from there. That's how it should be. But I said all that to say this. At the time I did it, I didn't understand the full implication of what I was doing. I just obeyed. Many times, so important for you just to obey God. God will never tell you everything. And it's later on that you're not looking at, ha! Then you now shiver where you are and say, what would have happened if I didn't obey? The same with groanings and all of that. Imagine if we didn't obey and we followed everybody. Where would we be today? Where would Nigeria be today? So it's important to obey. Hello, somebody. So this lady obeyed. All right? Let's get back to scripture. So that it might come to anointing. Verse 2. It says, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. It's probably about 6 o'clock. Between 6 and 7. Because normally in Israel, the sun comes up a little bit early, about 6, 7. You know. And next verse. And they said among themselves, who are they? The women. You know, women can't roll a stone. That's why they said among themselves. It was all women, remember? Mary Magdalene, Mary the Salome, and you know, Salome and Mary the mother of James. Okay. They weren't strong enough. So they said among themselves, I didn't hear you. Oh. Who shall roll the stone? Who shall roll us away? The stone from the door of the sepulchre. Next verse. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away as it was very great. I just got a text, if you like, or a tweet, if you like, from heaven. You know, by the time you are thinking about a problem, God has already worked on it. God is in control. They were thinking about the problem. What am I going to do? God has already answered. He says, "What?" Before they talk. Next verse. And when they... Next verse, verse 5. And entering the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were, of course, it was an angel. They got into the place, you know, they were there on Friday. These two eyes saw it. They put the dead body there. They wrapped it in a linen. Do you understand? They closed the door. Closed the something. Back on Sunday morning, he got the place. The door is open. The cave, you know. The stone had been rolled away. Then they, at least let's go and get the body. They get there. There is no body. And all the, they now see this strange fellow. Very interesting. You know, these angels, they can be very dramatic. In one of the things, in something, they say he sat on the stone. God is trying to show he's in control. You know? Yeah, he just looks at them. Doesn't do anything. You know? He looks at them. And of course, they're frightened because they know he's not a natural man. He says, you know, it's a bright white garment. Next verse. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted, or don't be afraid. He says, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Everybody give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. The angel does not keep them in doubt. He looks at them. He doesn't make them afraid. You know, he's an angel and he can be, they can actually be terrible. You know, and they have all this flash of glory around them. But he takes it easy. You know, they're nice people. They came to honor the Lord. So he said to them, he said, you're seeking Jesus of Nazareth. I got news for you. He's not here. You see, his body's not there. All right, he's risen. You know, behold the place where they laid him. Next verse. Go your way. Now he gives them an instruction. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter. Stop. Why Peter? Why didn't he just say, tell his disciples? Why didn't he say, and John? Or and James? Or and Andrew? Or and Philip? Why Peter? Because Peter was the most important person Jesus had to reassure at that time. God is very sensitive to us. Do you understand? James didn't deny him. John didn't deny him. Andrew did not deny him. Philip did not. They did not need that reassurance. The person that needed reassurance was Peter. Because Peter did not know where his destiny was hanging. I can imagine the turmoil that was going on in Peter's mind between Friday and Sunday. You know, no matter what you're going through, God knows what you're going through. And he knows how to send a word of comfort and a word of encouragement. He knows, yeah, what he share. Yeah, what's going to happen to me? Not once, not twice, not three times. And he looked at me. And he told me before, Mogbe, you can put yourself in Peter's position. You won't sleep, oh. Even if you sleep, you will sleep a troubled sleep. The whole of Friday night, the whole of Saturday, into Sunday morning. So the first person God wanted to reassure, God is always looking to comfort us. He said, go and tell and Peter. Once Peter heard that, he mentioned my name. Okay, yeah. It means he has not written me off. God will not write you off. In spite of your mistakes, in spite of your misdeeds, are you listening to me? I love this thing I'm about to say. That's why he came. He didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save the sinner. Peter sinned, but he came to save sinners. So he came to save Peter. He came to save you. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Good news. That's why this gospel is called good news. Don't you think? Tell Peter. Wasn't that good news to Peter? Good news to Peter. He was sending him a message.
that he goeth before you, I didn't hear you, into Galilee, and there you shall see him as he said unto you. Next verse. And they went out quickly and fled. You know,
don't act spiritual. You would have been more afraid. You get to the place, you see these tall guys, about maybe 8 feet tall. Amen. With the glory of God coming out of his body. And then he tells you, he said he's not here, he's risen. Now go and tell Peter. They didn't know what was going to happen, whether a bolt of lightning from heaven was going to fall. Or they all picked race. And fled from the sepulchre. For they trembled.
You know, one of the problems of these generations is that we don't fear God. And God is going to correct that, Pastor G. You understand? That's one of the reasons why we're going to see a manifestation of the glory of God in our generation. Trust me. By the time we have one or two manifestations, everybody will tremble when they are coming to church. Because you don't know what's going to happen next. We prophesied it, and I'm going to repeat it. Do you understand? The glory of God is going to come down in churches like this. It's not going to be a scripture pastor. It will start, you know, we'll probably, by the way, we'll be a pioneer. But there will be other people too who will experience this. There will be times that the glory cloud will come in the service. Nobody can go out. Nobody can come in. You will just be where you are. All this one, I'm going home, and you're not going anywhere. Hello? Go. You can't even stand up. If you stand up, you can't go out of the door. The glory of God, you will just come down. Sometimes you'll be on the choir. You'll be hearing them, but you can't see them. All you just see is the cloud. You'll be hearing their singing, oh, but you won't be able to see them. And you can't go there, and they can't come out. Hello? Then there'll be those who are like Ananias and Sapphira, who will come to church and tell us, and they'll fall down dead. What's going to happen? Oh, by 10 now what happens about 2 or 3 times. Prof, what do you think will happen? Everybody will come to this thing will happen. And they trembled. No wonder what the Bible says we should serve God with fear. There's no more. The fear of God has left the church because over the centuries, the glory of God has not appeared in the church. And people just think God is sleeping in heaven. Waiting for a rude shock. Are you listening to me? Now, if you're walking with God, you don't have anything to be afraid about. Don't your neighbor say, you should be glad about the glory of God. You shouldn't be afraid. After all, you're not Ananias, you're not Sapphira. It's all fun. Or are you? This is why we come to church. So the Holy Ghost can talk to us. Amen? You don't have anything to worry about. Amen? I'm not afraid of the glory of God. I'm excited. I want it to come. Because I'm certainly not going to come to church like Ananias and Sapphira. Hello? By the glory, by the mercy and the grace of God. I'm not afraid of the glory of God. I'm not afraid of the glory of God coming down and not allowing us to go for 6 hours. Where am I going? No, where can be better than the presence of God? And these are not things that, these are not far-fetched stories. These things happened at the turn of the century. When the Holy Ghost came, you know, the first few years, it lifted after some time, you know. God just did it to visit his people, to let people know that these things are still happening. In Marian Woodward, where there's meetings, people will all go, they'll be praising God, they'll just be like this, 24 hours. You can't put the hand down. It's like a statue. Solid, maybe like a goat, but he's still in flesh and blood. The guy's like this. As he put up his hand, was praising God. He just like that. Mary Woodward Wetter, you know, one of the great women of God at the turn of the century. In her meetings, sometimes when the glory of God will come, they'll be like that 24 hours, 48 hours. You can't move them. You can't get them. You talk and they won't answer and they're not dead. And 24 hours, 48 hours later, all of a sudden they just start talking again. So praise the Lord. So what is that? It's a wonder. Yeah, no. That's what calls us signs and wonders. The early Pentecostals understood a little bit about it. This is what Kenneth Hagin said. He said, we the later ones, we had a little bit of trouble. He said, these modern ones know nothing about it. And that's why we have the kind of nonsense church that we have now. They don't know anything about the glory of God. That's why you see, during the message, you see people walking all over the whole place. See them talking. See them at the back there, talking. You have no respect for and reverence for the presence of God. You know why? This generation has not seen the glory of God. The older generation needs to. My pastor, Pastor Porter and Mrs. Porter, they used to tell me stories about the glory of God. The early Pentecostals, you know, they got baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1936. Some of those things were still there into the 40s, into the 50s. By the time in our own time it came, we got baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, but we haven't seen too much of the glory of God. That's why we have a generation that does not fear God. People like me, we fear God because, although I haven't seen it, but I've heard the fathers talk about it, and it put into my heart a fear and a reverence for God. Ken Hagin's meetings in West Texas, when he was still pastoring all those churches in his early ministry, the glory of God will come down. Nobody will move there. They stay there 2 hours, 3 hours after service. Until it lifts, you can't go. People will be singing. There's one particular girl, you know, Ken Hagin talks about, you know, she'll start singing in the spirit. She'll close her eyes. She starts singing in tongues. She get under the platform, and she would dance into the air. Imagine, I'm on this platform now, and then she just keeps walking, but she's not walking. She's not going down the stairs. So she's walking in the air, and everybody's seeing it. And she's singing in the spirit. Everybody's looking. She's walking on air. Then her eyes are closed. Ken Hagin said, he said, you just get out of the way. Ken Hagin was a pastor, you know. He would not get out of the way, he'd be watching. He says, I watched her, you know. She says, and she would turn right around, walk back on the air, back onto the pulpit, finish the singing, sit down, and come and sit down. When you see that, will you come to church and misbehave? The early Pentecostals, you know, that's why my pastor, you know, they didn't have as much knowledge as we have today, but they had a healthy fear of God. You know why? They knew God was real. My pastor tells me of a story, I think it happened in 1954, in that little church in London there. You know, one day he was just in church, you know, he didn't know too much about all of these things, you know. He was trying to preach to people. He said, the Holy Ghost fell. He said, nobody. My pastor was telling me. He said, they could not move. You know the same thing that happened with Papa Ralph in 1995. He said, the Holy Ghost. He said, when the Holy Ghost. He said, none of them. He said, they just like, were magnetized to the floor. One drunk came in. That man, I think his name was Brother Tom. I still remember him. By the time I was in that church, this is 1954, this is about, maybe, you know, I was in 1980, it was about 30 years later. Brother Tom had become an old man. He was telling me the story. Brother Tom came in when the glory was down. He got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And was still in that church 30 years later when I was there. Englishman, oh. You know, he used to go drink in the pub and all of that. He wandered into the glory. It was the Holy Ghost. You know, he fell under the power. No prayer. No sinner's prayer. God born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. He sobered up immediately. And he began, from that day, he started serving the pastor. He was in that church. By the time I was in Imperial College, Brother Tom was in his 80s. He would be dead now, probably gone home to be with the Lord. He was in late 70s or early 80s. I can never forget him. You know, very faithful. Orolong. The problem with this generation, we don't know God. And we don't fear God. All we see is the one we read inside the Bible. But God is about to show up again. The glory of God is coming back to the church. You clap, you don't clap, it's coming. Hallelujah. That's why these people trembled. Neither said anything to any man. You know, when you see God, for they were afraid. It's good. It's not good to have a terrorist kind of fear, but it's good to have a reverential fear. The Pentecostal app, modern day world of faith, people have no fear of God. No fear of God. No fear of God. But you'll be preaching. See people walking all over the whole place. You know, talking outside, laughing. Olorunmansoro. Where do you think you are? Where do you think you are? It's because you haven't seen the glory arrest some people or fall on some people. It's because we don't hear about such things. The other time I was preaching somewhere recently, I went to preach for a bunch of leaders down the road. You know, I said, hey, how many people have heard of Spirit of the Word? One or two hands went up. You know, this generation knows very little about the glory of God. Old Wigglesworth, sometimes my pastor said, Old Wigglesworth, the man carried the glory of God. He carried the glory. One time he was in the train, you know, between London and Bradford or wherever he was going. Once Old Wigglesworth stepped inside the train, you know, and all the people, everybody started crying. Yeah. He didn't say anything, no. The man was just carrying the presence of God. Between the place and London and the place, everybody got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Those things used to happen in those days. They need to come back. It would be nice to do that in the House of Assembly. Change Nigeria permanently. Let them have a visitation of the Holy Ghost in the Senate and in the House of Assembly. Power going all full bass. Everybody, you know, on the floor. It's one of the things God's going to use to change Nigeria. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. That's why we need a church that carries the glory of God. You know, bring fear of God back. Next verse. Have I helped anybody here? Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. We all know the story. John and Luke expatiate a little bit more. Mary stays behind looking for the body. She sees Jesus, thinks he's the gardener. But it's actually Jesus. And then, you know, she asks, and then she says, Mary, and then she recognizes, he wants to touch, she says, don't touch me. He goes to heaven and comes back and tells her she should go and tell the others. You know, so Mary sees him first. Then, let's go on. Next verse. And she went out and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. This was the 11th. Folks, Jesus was killed on Friday. It's Sunday morning. Between Friday and Sunday, the brethren, and I say the brethren, I'm talking about, apart from Judas, you know, they were all afraid. It was a place they were, you know, they were in Jerusalem. Of course, the burial took place in Jerusalem, just, you know, it couldn't be too far away from where he was crucified, you know. So, Mary goes to the sepulchre early in the morning. They don't see him. This angel tells them. But Mary lingers. You know, she didn't. The others quickly went. Mary just stuck around. This thing. Let me investigate a little bit more. That was when she saw Jesus. So,
But Jesus was in transit after a terrible battle in hell, and had taken the keys of death and hell, and had took his blood. He was in transit to heaven to go and sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Now that's why he said, don't touch me, because I cannot be ceremonially defiled. So between that time, Mary, having not only heard what the angel said, she had a second witness and actually saw Jesus. She now goes to where the brethren are. Between that place and where they are, it's all in Jerusalem. It's not far from each other. When she gets there, she now tells them what they saw. Three things. Number one, the stone is rolled away. Number two, the body is not there. Number three, an angel told us his reason. Number four, I saw him myself. With all that, the carnal mind is terrible. Prof. Mary is not a frivolous person. Do you understand? This Mary, we have been going in and out with her. It's not the kind of person that asks us to do. She's not drunk. It's not like Mary talks. I will listen. Hello, Birini. It's all idle tales. That's what the Bible says. It was idle tales. Dismissed her. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believe not. Stop. I just got another fax or a text, if you like. You know why? Let me tell you what happened. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit just revealing it to me now. I've been preaching this for years, but it's what revealing to me. They felt that if he's going to appear to anybody first, it's not going to be you. We are the apostles. It can't be so. Even if he's going to appear, he will appear to us first. We have the authority. You are just a woman. You're not an apostle. You're nothing. So it cannot be so. Even if he's raised from the dead, he will call him a kokori. What like seven demons or cast out? May God have mercy on us. So. They didn't believe. But Mary was right. Then something happened. Next verse. Let's next verse. Before we get here, this is the road to Emmaus. You know, Mark just records this in a very brief form. Luke expatiates it more. But before we get there, let me tell you something that happened. This one is inside John. It's not here. But you see, that's why you have to have all the four Gospels. They're complementary. We call, you know, so you can have a complete picture, you know, or a more complete picture of what happened on that day. After Mary got there and told them, they did not believe. But two people, this Mary is not the kind of person who just talks. Let's go and check. So Peter and John, they go to the sepulchre. John runs. Peter is a little bit, you know. So John outruns Peter. John gets to the sepulchre. Say, this woman is talking. Let's go and check. When he gets to the sepulchre, he sees what Mary said. The stone is out. He looks inside. The place is empty. They were all there. This was where. Then he sees the napkin folded neatly. That's Jesus for you. He's always neat. He said, and he believed. I've always said this, but today I'm going to change what I've said. Amen. It was Mary Magdalene who was firstborn, not John. The first person after Jesus was not a man, it was a woman. Olorun ma le o.
I've always thought it was John until tonight. It was not John. It was Mary. Mary was the first one who saw him and believed. Got born again first. Then second, John. Correct. Because it was on the basis of Mary's testimony that John went to go and check. So it was Mary first and then not John. See, even our own male chauvinism has always made me put John first instead of Mary. I just never thought of it. But it was Mary first. It wasn't John. It was Mary first. No wonder why we say Mary, the mother of God. Mary! I'm not going to go born again. Praise the Lord. So the first human being to go born again was not a man. It was a woman. And it ought so to be because he was the seed of the woman. It was the seed of the woman that bruised the head of the serpent. Just like God. Just like God. To honor the woman. He honored them. First person to get born again was not a man, it was a woman. Wow. Isn't that something? This Bible, you keep discovering new things. Okay. Next verse. Oh, Jesus, we're going to close. And after that, he appeared in another form on the two of them as they walked and went. These are the people, the guys who are going to Emmaus. And we know the story from Luke. They're walking on the road. Jesus appears to them. Yeah, of course, they didn't know it was Jesus at first. You know, and he talks to them. He, you know, just looks normal. They didn't recognize him. The Bible says their eyes were holden. You know, God didn't allow them to see that it was Jesus. They saw a person. They could see his face, but they didn't recognize him. Anyway. And Jesus talks to them and then goes into the house with them. And then their eyes are open at the breaking of bread. This was much later. All of this on Easter Sunday. Very early in the morning, around 6, 7 o'clock, Mary Magdalene gets born again. Maybe around 9. James and Peter go, and John gets born again. Then, maybe it's about 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. Must be. You know, these guys are going to Emmaus. Jesus appears to them, they didn't know it's Jesus. By that time, Jesus had gone to heaven and come back. He had gone, put his blood, he had done all the thing of redemption, you know, sealed everything. So he now came back. And then he appears to these two guys. They don't understand that it's him. Well, I know it's evening because the Bible said they told him that he should stay with them because the day was far spent. So it must have been about 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening towards 6. You know, it's not like today. They didn't have street lights. Usually in those days, once it gets to night, you go to your house. You know, people move around at night, but it's only adulterers in the black, dark night. Or if there's something very important, they used to use torches. You know, night was not a time he moved around. So that's why they asked Jesus to stay with them and spend the night with them. So Jesus goes into the house with them. Do you understand? They're about to eat. They say the grace, break the bread, and suddenly their eyes opened. Then they realize it was Jesus, and Jesus disappears. They don't even wait. That very night. So it must have been about 7 o'clock. You know, it's already 9. They all get up straight and go. Let us go. Get down and tell them who. So by the time they get there, this is about 8 o'clock in the evening. They go to the place where the brethren are to go and say, "Ah, the Lord is risen indeed." And Jesus tells them quite a few things. He says, "And he has appeared unto Peter." So Jesus must have told them, and John and Peter had come. So he must have told them that, you know, Peter and John have, you know, had come to check on me. Mary Magdalene has come to check on me. You know, so by the time he gets there, the other 10, not 11, Thomas is not around. It's good to be where God tells you to be when you should be. This way I will do my own thing, I will do my own thing. It always gets us into trouble. The question is, where was Thomas? About out of doubt. Hello. It's like a lot of us. You know, your habit will find you out. You know, it was on a day
like that, Pastor G, Jesus had just been crucified. The brethren were all meeting together. Is that a day to be absent?
Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. You know, you don't go and miss church on specific on strategic days.
Was that a day? I asked myself, what is wrong with this Thomas? Where?
Only God knows what he was doing. Well, Lordy, Mama Yahweh or something.
I'm sure it was some silly canal thing. Hello? Yeah, I'm supernatural thing.
Why would he not have been there with the brethren? Even, you know the Yorubas, we have there's a good thing in our culture. You know, when somebody has just died, do you understand? You stay with the people who are close to the family, you know, just to show empathy, to show to comfort and support. Thank you. That's why they were all together. You know, we're trying to comfort each other, you know, and all of that. Is that the time for you to leave?
Whatever it was that he went for.
And he missed the first appearance.
Jesus, come that night.
This is about 8 o'clock in the evening. You understand? All of them are gathered together. They're all talking about the fact that Mary Magdalene saw, and then John too, and Peter had gone. They didn't see the body. And they were all, you know.
Then these guys from Emmaus, I call Wallery, the Lord is risen indeed. He has appeared to us.
Everybody was wondering.
As they were all wondering, Jesus himself just appears. He comes through the door. So that all controversy settled. Hello? He appears to all of them, you know, and says, peace.
I said, they were afraid. He said, don't be afraid. He says, I myself. He said, give me honey, give me fish. He ate the fish. He said, the spirit doesn't have flesh and bone, as you see me have. Then he breathed on them, you know, the Holy Ghost. That's how they got born again. So Thomas missed that one. And Jesus, you know, talks to them, comforts them, and they feel better. Then he disappears.
He disappears. I think the next day, it's just like some of the brethren, always coming late to church. You understand? It was the day after all the action had happened. Thomas leisurely strolls in, you know. The day after, you know, this probably is Easter Sunday, maybe Monday or Tuesday. He now comes and joins the brethren. Then I tell him, Jesus, the Lord is appeared. He said, I will not believe.
It was his will. He said, I will not believe. That's why 2 centuries later, no, 2 millennia later, we still use the word doubting Thomas. It becomes a byword. Doubting Thomas. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Thomas. Jesus fighting him. My doubt. Hello, somebody.
Are you listening to me? I said that as a joke. You know, there are a lot of good people who are Thomas. And Thomas is a good apostle. You know, he repented and he did a lot of work in India, Japan. Those were the areas. He went to the East and he was crucified. Like Jesus. He did a great work for God the Lord. You know, Orietiwaleni. Praise the Lord. He had learned his lesson. Praise the Lord. You know, but seriously, you know, we all these things are things for us to learn from. What was in it that he couldn't be with the brethren? And then when the others told him, Peter told you, John told you, Philip told you, Andrew told him, Mary Magdalene, Oberini, maybe she, you know, they all told you, these are not, they said, I said he appeared to us just now. We saw him. He ate bread. He ate fish.
You know what he said? I will not believe. He said, I except I see the print in his hand and I touched his side. He said, I will not believe. So, about a week passed. They all gathered together. You know, Jesus appears again. And then he was there. Then he singled him out. My Lord and my God. Jesus said, come on, don't come and give me all that rubbish and nonsense. He said, because you have seen now, you believe. He said, blessed are those who have not seen and believe. He said, be not faithless, but believing. And that rebuke stands for eternity. It's written. We are all to learn from all of these things. And so, back to chapter 16. We'll deal with the Great Commission in our next lesson. We'll just finish this. You know, he appears to the other two, you know, and they went and they told the others. Verse 14. We'll stop there tonight. It says, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them. Give that to me, the New International Version. The word upbraid is Old English. It doesn't hit us like it should hit us. Amen. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. They even had mouth to eat. Silly people. They had mouth to eat. They had appetite to eat, but they could not believe that he was raised from the dead. These are guys that are supposed to be mourning, no? The thing has not. May God have mercy on us. So, can you imagine? Just your Lord, your Master, he died. They came to tell you he's raised from the dead. You say you don't believe, and you still have mouth to eat. If truly you believe he was still there, you still be mourning. You be mourning so much that you can't eat. You know all this mourning from the dead is all show. The Yoruba culture and the Jewish culture are so similar. You know in Yoruba land, you know when somebody dies, everybody will go and sit down. And they'll be crying and everything, you know. If it's somebody that is you, if the thing is really genuine, mentally you even lose your appetite, you can't eat. You will eat later, but you know, same deal. It's this same Sunday, you know. Later, as they were eating. I can imagine Jesus looking at him, hey, you can eat, anywhere be eat. When they told you I had been raised from the dead, you could not rejoice. And he rebuked them, I didn't hear you, for their lack of faith. I like this. This is the Amplified. He says, on the inside, and they are stubborn. Refusal to believe. Everybody say it. Say it again. Say it a third time. Stubbornness. You know stubbornness? You know what is stubborn? You know what stubbornness is? Is a will that is refuses to submit to the will of God. That's why I was saying stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. All the evidence that Jesus was raised from the dead was before them. Do you understand? I try to be as objective as possible. I put myself in the situation of those guys. For the last 1 year, 2 years, this man has been telling us they will arrest me and I will rise again. He's been telling us so. You know, just remember when he said, who do men say that I am? And he said, some say you're John the Baptist. He said, you know, Jesus, Peter said, you're the Christ son. He said, flesh and blood not revealed. He said, from that time, he began to show them. So it wasn't something they were hearing anew. The night before he was killed, he said, they will keep me, but I will rise again. Okay, early in the morning, this woman goes to the place and talks.
okay, can you're just exaggerating and all that. John goes, comes back. These guys from Emmaus come. They So truly, it was a stubborn refusal. There was too much evidence. If you were being fair and you had an objective, and that's what we've been preaching, honesty of heart, you would say, he must be raised from the dead. It must be true. Stubborn refusal to believe. Those who had seen him after he had risen from the dead. We're going to close on that. May God help us not to be stubborn. Look at what we've been preaching about manifestation of sons of God. You know, some people stubbornly refuse to believe it. Blood moon tetrad. Can any human being do that? And it falls. Look at the synchronization, and you still will not believe. Stubborn refusal to believe. So just rebuke them. He was angry with them. He forgave them, of course. You know, but he had to rebuke them. And you know the funny thing, the instructive thing, rather, I should say, is that God recorded everything. Along Leo, you know, for posterity. He recorded the one of Thomas. He recorded the one of the apostles. You know, those who did well were commended. Mary Magdalene, Peter, John, the two guys on the road to Emmaus, even their name is inside the Bible. Cleopas and the other guy, I forgot his name. I think there are two of them anyway, you know, is there. And the ones who did not believe is there. The Thomas who did not believe for 1 week is there. Hey, well, about 1 week. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, was it 8 days? Mm-hmm. 8. Can you imagine? Okay, Lego. 8 solid days. And you can imagine the buzz amongst the brethren. Everybody would have been talking about it. Can you imagine every day? You know, he appeared to them. Everybody would be like, thank God, we saw him. We held him. You know, everybody was talking about it. He didn't hear it once. It must have been the topic of their conversation for the next 8 days. But well, okay. Consulting you. I'm saying that to let us know how many of our hearts are. They will hear from authentic sources. Is it John who is going to lie? Is it Peter who is going to lie? Is it Mary Magdalene who is going to? These are people you've been working with. Are they the ones who are going to lie to you? Will Andrew lie? Will Philip lie? And yet you still stubbornly refuse to believe. God have mercy. May God give us honest, humble, and believing hearts in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Talk to God. Don't be like that, too. Be quick to believe. Quick. The 11 and Thomas. The 11, I don't know what it was. Thomas. Be quick to believe. John was quick to believe. He quickly got up, went to hand check. Because of the heart of expectancy. He was quick to believe. Call on Shanua. Talk to God tonight. There's so much to learn in all the things we've learned tonight. Obey. Simple instruction. You don't know the simple implications of obedience. Maybe 10 years later, 20 years, you begin to say, this simple thing I did,
Look at the implication. And the negative is also true. When you don't obey, they look at what we are. That the Holy Spirit has just brought that thing out from the power. Stubborn refusal to believe. Don't let that happen to you. Don't be stubborn. Don't say accept. I will not believe. Believing is an act of your will. Just say I choose to believe. Be like John. John chose to give Mary Magdalene the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to go and check. When he got the Bible, he looked in and he believed. Talk to God. I believe. I got a word from all of us. For all of us. I choose to believe. It's a choice. I can choose to believe and I can choose not to. And I have all the evidence. As a young Christian, after I became born again, of course I had the personal experience and witness in my heart, but of course I had a lot of doubts. I was in an academic environment. People with all kinds of intellectual arguments. And some things I understood, some things I didn't even understand that will confuse you. Confuse you as a young Christian. Confused me. You know, we are about evolution, hear about this, you know, hear about that, hear about this, hear about that. Then you say all the people in the world and all the religions, will God allow people to go to hell? All you'll be hitting me left, right, and center. I choose to believe. And one of the things that God used to help me, and I've said it here in church before, and I want to remind us tonight. You know, of course, you have the personal, the basis, he that believed had the witness in himself. There's a supernatural change that takes in your life, nobody can take away from you. You know, and if you don't believe that, it's because you're just dishonest. You know, but in addition to that, on top of that, I was thinking about it today. I was talking with Pastor Andrew about it. Sister Remy just got back from Israel. When you look at the history of Israel, that's another sign for the all of us in our own generation to see. 948, you know, and then even just look at the history. Just look from Egypt right down to Babylon, right down, you know, down through the years. If you don't believe, you're a fool. Go to Israel. I haven't been. I'm going to go this year in Jesus' name. Amen. You understand? The place is a wonder. And it's God. I told Pastor Andrew, I said it's because there is seed of Abraham. And they are beloved for their father's sake. Their agriculture is first class. Their technology is first class. They are brilliant. They are innovative. Some of the most, they are Jews. Why? And then you choose not to believe. I will destroy Israel. We will kill them all. People before you have said it. Haman has said it. Amen. Adolf Hitler has said it. Saddam Hussein has said it. Where are they? Do you want to join them? That's an encoded message to our brethren across the desert. Choose to believe. The history of Israel alone should convince any skeptic that the God of Abraham is the true God. He has watched over his word to perform it. 948, and now Israel is one of the most technologically advanced. When they said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. See it in history. It's there. So, can you choose? You know that thing, when I saw it as a young Christian, and I read a book or something, you know, and said, look at Israel. Ah! I said, it's so. It's so. The greatest nations in the world today I began this message by talking about the United States of America. One of the reasons, and England, why God made them great was because of what they did for Israel. Too many things, Pastor G. Too many things. Too many things. You're sitting under air conditioner, using mobile phone, and he's a great Satan. Go and use what your fathers were using. Boko Haram, no education. Yet, everything you are using internet, jeeps, and the weapons, and it's all made by the same. Can you not see that there's a lie in your right hand? Along with you, well. Talk to God. Choose to believe. And let it translate to action and practice of these principles. So that when the glory comes, you will not be left out. You will not be on the outside looking in. Don't sing it as a song, sing it as a proclamation. Be it unto me according to your word.
According to your word.
According to your promises.
According to your promises.
I now
stand secure.
Come upon my heart.
Come upon my heart.
This truth. To me. according to your word. Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God. Commit to the word. Choose to believe the word. Don't be like Thomas at that time. He changed later. But don't be like him. Don't say, I will not believe. The Bible says they are stubborn. Jesus had to rebuke them for their stubborn refusal to believe. These were people who had been with him for 3 years. They had seen the dead raised. They had seen the lepers healed. They saw him feed 5,000 people with 2 loaves and 2 pieces of bread and 5 loaves, 2 pieces of fishes and 5 loaves. They saw so many, and they heard him say over and over and over again, the Son of Man will be delivered on the hand of Gentiles. They will kill him, but the third day I will rise again. But they did not take that word to heart. Talk to God tonight. We're going to pray in a minute together. I want you to say, God, all these things, I've been coming to scripture, pastor, I've been hearing about my male sons of God, Pastor Olubi, I've been hearing all these things. Oh God, help me. Help me. That I will not be like those apostles, I will not be like those disciples who heard these things over and over. They even God had evidence. Look at the blood moon tetrad. I didn't do that. Don't say I will not believe. Say, Lord, I believe. I choose to believe. That man who brought his son, he said, Lord, help thou my own belief. Help thou my own belief. According to your word, O Lord, now with that hand on your heart, the other one to God. We say, Father, I confess our sins, so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me tonight, reminding me of the vital importance of choosing to believe. Lord, I choose to believe your word. I will not indulge in unbelief, in stubbornness, in a stubborn refusal to believe your word. But I will be eager to believe your word. I choose to believe your word. I look at the evidence of my heart, the evidence of your word, the evidence of human history. I choose to believe all of your word. Not a part of it, but all of it. All of it. All of it. For I know your thoughts towards me are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring me to the expected end of the fulfillment of all your promises in your word concerning me. I say, all the promises of God for me in Christ Jesus are yea, are yea, and amen. In Jesus' name. Nekaramatoshkefri Liktushkefri Ningara Laprakatoskofrides Lambakamatulomagaras Lambakamatulomash Tuklamatulomashuki Yokoro Tuklamatulomatogra Number two free shikaka Jekafre Lambakamatul Lambakamatulom Tu free dishka, lumber come to fresh, to free, lumber can talamashaka, shafrika glubacra, tolom to free, so freka glomato, jeki to free, lumber catolomatolom to fresh, tolomatola, lumber to clomatolo, lumber come to free, so free, lumber katushka, morotolom to free de la macar, dolom shai, yaka tofre, zofridilimis, nifridilis, jalabricatoros, nifridilis, nafridilis. Jacatoros, Nifridis, Lopredeles, Jacaras, Zofridis, Nikotolo Mokaras, Nifridis, Jokikos, Nefridis, Neres, Nokotufres. In Jesus' name.